They're going to take their cue from the leadership. That means he's not talking out of the side of his ass. Restrictions are being lifted. You know, I can drop my shorts without taking my belt off. And I looked like a clown. Nobody's even close.
Ira is in rare form today, and it's all thanks to Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. That is Tampa's first family of Ford. They're responsible for delivering all of Ira's work and this podcast on JoeBucksFan.com. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, for the way you serve our community, the way you serve all customers and all Bucks fans. BillCurryFord.com. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, Florida's very best craft beer. And thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration, for being there 24/7 by phone every time someone has a disaster in their home in the Tampa Bay area. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Call them. You'll get an immediate free assessment as to what's happening. They'll help you with your insurance company. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bucks fans were fired up less than 3 months from the preseason kickoff, Ira. Unbelievable. Here it is, episode 2 of this week, the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, and the podcast stars the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Pasco County, Uncle Ira, the Custodian of Canton, the Mighty Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Ira's all fired up. No rest in his game. He's not heading out for 2 months or, you know, going on some sort of coffee trek with Peter King to sip coffee all over town. He's grinding it out up there in Newport Richey. Great weekend to go shopping at Bill Curry Ford. End of the month. 50% off sale on used vehicles. They got their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. All kinds of offers, and GM Sean Sullivan is there waiting for folks to ask him for help. Ask him for the Ira Kaufman discount. Get it all started at BillCurryFord.com. First, Ira, how you feeling? Anything new with the diet? Any scale fluctuations there? And we've got so much to talk about, but how are you?
I'm all geeked up, and I'll tell you what, guys. I have stumbled upon the key to the universe. Two words, gentlemen. Two words. Jenny Craig. I'm down 10. My goal was 20. I believe I will hit my goal by the 4th of July and celebrate with a strawberry shortcake. And I might go beyond my goal, gentlemen. But lean and mean, I think that might be pushing it a little bit, DeCamper. I wouldn't say lean and mean. You know, I could drop my shorts without taking my belt off, DeCamper. That's a major plus. I'm not afraid. Steve, that's an image you don't even want to think about. Now, I got to say, last night, 3-4 o'clock, I asked my wife, you know, which Jenny Craig are we having? Turkey with giblets or... meatloaf, so-called mystery meat. And she said, I think we can have a couple of slices of pizza. The Kemper, that was like Christmas morning. She had two slices. I took care of the rest. I'm feeling chipper, gentlemen. And, Steve, I got to be in shape. When I start going back to Big Storm, I got to be able to have a brewski or two. You know, I got to be in shape. So, it's all going well. The tennis court, the Jenny Craig. You know, Jerry Seinfeld was famous. He instead of a 32, he used to write 31 on his belt just to be a wise guy. I'm not at that stage, but I think instead of 40, I might be able to go to 39, DeCamper.
Ira, does your diet have you to the point where you watch the Food Network like porn?
Absolutely not, but I'm into light Cool Whip. Light Cool Whip, and not in the way you're thinking, DeCamper. I know the way your mind operates.
No, I don't think that would.
Light Cool Whip with strawberries, maybe some blueberries, Steve, a little cereal. But I still got to have my coffee, Steve. Got to have my Dunkin' Donut. Got to have
it. All right. Well, we got some detail. I'm going to wait another week. I won't hit you about this until after Memorial Day, and we'll check back in with you. You know, keep it going, Ira. You got this. July 4th, 20 pounds. We got it. That's the goal. Javier can make note of it, and we'll see what happens and you can throw those ash cans and cherry bombs, that like he used to say back in Brooklyn.
And Steve, when I go out to training camp, which is not going to be done by Zoom, I hope, this summer, Steve, I'm going to ask the Bucks to take a different picture of me for my ID. I don't want those ruddy cheeks, that look like they got chestnuts in them. I want a new picture, Steve, and I'm going to demand one.
Well, you know what, Ira, if you hit your goal, we'll send our fantastic photographer out to you, and we'll do a whole new photo shoot at Bill Curry Ford, and for your column signature as well, we'll do it right for you.
I think that's important, Steve, because on the previous photo shoot, I think my body blocked out most of the Ford Escape, the cherry red Escape, and let's take another one, Steve, and we can show more of the Escape with the new one.
All right. Now, listen, you moonlight on this Eye Test for Two podcast that I'm going to take a pot shot, Ira. No one's listening to that thing. But we made a big deal about it this week because you had Jason Light as a guest. Bottom line is you asked him about Antonio Brown. Came up that Brown had surgery, didn't actually ink his contract yet. You were all over it with Light. And he said, no concern whatsoever. The plan all along, he's probably coming in on Monday of next week, just a few days from now to sign the deal. So tell us about that, Ira, and tell us about, your other things you touched on with Light, anything that stood out.
I've been after Jason Light on this show, and yes, it's called the Eye Test for Two, Steve. And even though, the number of listeners pale in comparison to the Ira Kaufman podcast, and they do, I'm still getting paid. I'm still getting some shekels, gentlemen. This is all about business, Lee, not personal, business. And I've been trying to get Light for a month. And, my co-host Clark Judge is, ridiculing me. What kind of clout do you have, Ira? You can't even get your own general manager. We've had all these people, Polian, DeBartolo, Ron Wolf, Charles Woodson. I mean, we got a lot of people. And you can't get Jason Light sitting there at One Buck Palace. I've been all over him and finally agreed to do it. And the timing was beautiful, gentlemen, absolutely beautiful, because he was coming on at 10 in the morning on Wednesday. And all of a sudden this Antonio Brown mini story, which was much ballyhooed at the time. So I had to ask Light about it. And Lee, you could tell by his demeanor, no big deal, no headache for Jason Light, not a care in the world about this Antonio Brown so-called issue. And not only does he say that we anticipated it all, but Lee, he gives the day that Antonio Brown's going to come in and sign his contract. He doesn't say in the near future this will all be taken care of. Lee, he says to me right away, he's coming in Monday. It's all done on Monday. So Lee, what does that tell you? That means he's not talking out of the side of his ass. That means his people are in contact with Brown's agents or Brown himself, and he gave him the day that he's coming in to sign. So, Lee, that story had about a two-hour shelf life.
You got it from the horse's mouth, the general manager. So, good job there, Ira.
And who's the first person I call? Lee DeKemper.
Oh, Lee DeKemper. I didn't know that. I thought you were going to call your wife and announce to Hooters.
I call the man that's going to put it on Joe Buck's fan in the wink of an eye. Sorry, Steve. That's Lee DeKemper. Fastest fingers in the Sunshine State. And
easy now, easy.
And Lee, sure enough, you got it up on that site very quickly.
So I'm waiting for that podcast to launch and or upload. When it did, it took me like 3 minutes and there was a story up.
Well, Ira, just not that we're playing journalism here, but I think our savvy listeners could say, why didn't Ira just go to his computer, type up a few paragraphs and send it over? But that's a story for another day.
It's called checks.
come on.
Ira would've, it's something for the effort. That's what Ira would have wanted.
That's the difference between you two. I'm getting lauded over here by DeKemper for getting the nugget of information. And instead, I'm getting a little chastised by his bits for giving DeKemper a little extra work. That
Steve,
such is the
I saved this. I saved this $100 by doing the legwork. Steve, come on.
There you go. All right, Ira. Now listen. I want to plug your Tampa 2 show on the Identity Tampa Bay. It's at JoeBucksFan.com during the season twice a week, and in the off season once a week or here and there kind of thing. You do it with Derek Brooks. It's a few years now. And while we're not going to talk about this today, and I want to do some research and dive into it, we can talk to, it's a great summer podcast topic for a day or something to touch on. But you guys had a great debate episode is what I'm calling it. The debate on which team is better, the 02 team or the 2020 team. I saved the video. I didn't pop it until this week. You did it last week. It had already generated some buzz. And then we ran it today and fans are commenting. But thankfully, they let you guys go a little longer than usual in the video, and really good stuff from Brooks. And I just hope everybody watches it at JoeBucksFan.com. We're not going to talk about it today, Ira, but I want to remind everybody that Tampa 2 rolls on.
Thanks for the kind words, Stevie. And you know what, Steve? Next week, that wouldn't be a bad quickie poll for you to put up. I'll say this right off the bat. Lee, I think you'd agree with me. If you guys do put up the poll, Lee, I'm going to say two-thirds of the respondents would say the 2020 Bucks. And I think I'm right about that. It could be even more lopsided. And part of it, Lee, is the young people maybe weren't even around to see the Brookses and the Saps and the Rice and the Barbers and the Lynches play in person. And the more I listen to Brooks, and we're not going to talk about it, Lee, but I think you could make a case for the 02 Bucks. But I think if you put up a poll, Lee, I think the 2020 Bucks would win it handily.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's just human nature that, you know, the 2020 team is in the forefront of our memory.
Yes.
So obviously that's going to, you know, I think you're right, Ira, for a lot of reasons. That's one of them. Yeah.
All right, Sage, I wanted to bring up something. Now, he said this right at the end of April. You know, I guess there's a chance he could have changed his mind, but I wasn't going to reach out and try to get an exact answer on that because it really wasn't too relevant. I'm talking about Carlton Davis and his feelings on coming to off-season practices, because we're going to know next week how many veteran Bucks are really going to show up, because these OTA practices for the veterans really kick in next week. So Carlton Davis was doing a podcast, and he basically said a lot of players, I'll summarize it here for you. Maybe I'll give you an exact quote or two, but he said a lot of players are a little hesitant with the vaccines after the blood clots that were announced with that Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And he thinks that he says a lot of his teammates believe, hey, look how well they did with just a virtual offseason last year, being very safe, not being together, and that everybody's accountable and everybody's communicating, and there's really no reason to get together. He has the utmost trust that everybody will take care of their business. He's going to take care of his business. You can't baby players. We're grown men. We'll be accountable. You know, he doesn't believe in the spring practices, you know, sort of standing behind the NFLPA's announcement that the Bucks as a team don't plan to attend. We haven't heard a lot from players individually on this, but Davis was very firm and, you know, really didn't waffle, was very confident in his expression of that. Did that surprise you a little bit?
It did not. It did not, for several reasons. One, it's not just the NFLPA stance. Carlton Davis, Lee, and a lot of these young guys, but they're veterans, but they're young, they're going to take their cue from the leadership, Lee, and by that I mean Brady and Bruce Arians. And I think those guys are in lockstep. And I don't think Arians can come out and say, I don't want the veterans here. And I don't think Arians is going to say it. But Lee, he's come up just about short of that. I think the implication is that Arians wouldn't mind if the veterans don't show up. Everybody's reading these quotes. Everybody's hearing these quotes. And I'm going to throw this out there. Maybe I'm exaggerating this, but Lee, I think the COVID-19 factor is a red herring in 2021, in May and June. I mean, restrictions are being lifted. People are starting to feel good about themselves in terms of a return to normalcy. So, I mean, are we really going to use COVID as the reasons that most veterans are not going to report to training camp? I think it's got to go beyond that, Lee. And I think there's this idea from a union perspective that, hey, we got to get back to, you know, emphasizing that these things are voluntary and we don't need our guys there, and they shouldn't be penalized in any way in terms of attitude from the front office or anything if a guy doesn't show up. And Leon, I'm not sure that COVID isn't being used as an excuse here.
You use the term red herring. I use the term Trojan horse. We're on the same railroad track, so to speak, here. The teams are having off-season workouts, despite the NFLPA telling people, and apparently Brady getting on a teleconference of some sort, and, you know, don't let these people take advantage of you. From what I understand, the vast majority of players are showing up at these team OTAs. So it's the minority of people that aren't. I think what it boils down to, and I think this is what you're getting at, Ira, last year proved, and this is getting into one of my pet peeves, you could almost smell it coming. So it kind of started with Bill Parcells, you know, you have to work out with the team, you have to be here, you know, 3-a-days, 2-a-days, to preseason games. That concept, that idea, that thought process was thoroughly destroyed last year. Thoroughly destroyed. Especially the preseason games, which is my pet peeve, is J.C. Treader. Is it Treader or Trotter with the Browns?
Treader,
okay. He basically was saying the current CBA is a living, breathing document, meaning that the NFLPA and the owners are always touching base about making adjustments to the collective bargaining agreement. So it's not like they have to tear up the whole thing and redo it if the players don't want to show up in May. So I'm hoping that they get rid of preseason games, that the players basically say, we're not going to show up unless you get rid of preseason games, then we'll think about it. In my perspective, that would be awesome. You have Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller, who I love to death. They're on SiriusXM NFL Radio screaming this is the end of football as we know it. And they both admit, to their credit, they were dead wrong last year. They were dead wrong. They thought football was going to be horrible last year, that offenses were going to be nothing but mistakes, that defenses were going to dominate. They were dead wrong. Selfishly. I'm talking about selfishly here. What I'm going to say now is just selfish. I think both you guys will agree with me. I'm going to miss guys showing up in the spring because that's less copy we have to write about. The owners, the administration up at Park Avenue, they want the NFL to be a 12-month-a-year league. Well, if you take away spring practice, well, that's like 2 months. You're not going to have NFL coverage over baseball, over the non-basketball association, over the NHL. Selfishly, I hope that doesn't happen. But, man, I would almost pay someone money to get rid of those GD preseason games. Get rid of them.
It's coming. It's coming, Lee. But, Steve, to back up Lee's point about the quality of football that we saw in 2020, when Rich McKay addressed the owners, Steve, they did it virtually this year. They did not have the annual March meetings. They did not. But when he presented all these proposals and he gives an opening statement and he's got all the data that he's collected, you know, for 3 months with all the minions at the NFL office, adding up all these qualitative elements to it. Steve, you know what he said? His opening lines were, we had a spectacular 2020 season. The competitive nature and how close the games were and penalties were down and this and that.
Oh, penalties were down, huh? No preseason game.
And so it all backs up what Lee's saying, is that some of the assumptions that people make, and I'm with Lee, I love Kerwin and Miller, but to call this the end of football as we know it, that's exaggeration beyond belief, Steve. And we're going to go to 2 preseason games sooner rather than later, and I say bravo.
All right, Sage. Well, look, Kerwin and Miller are completely disconnected from the modern virtual coaching and other things that go on, and that's part of it. And also, guys are in better shape than ever before on their own. As far as what Carlton Davis said, I mean, I'm not sure anybody's safer outside of a football facility than training at the facility. So I can't buy that, or someone's going to have to really explain that to me. Unless you're Devin White, who's just in his barn, you know, breaking his ass in his private gym and you know, dealing with his horses for 4 hours before he starts his workout. But most guys aren't in that boat in the middle of nowhere in Louisiana. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first call for them to give a free assessment to you of what's going on. They can make emergency repairs. Yeah, they're licensed mold remediation specialists, and they'll work with your insurance company, most importantly, to make sure you don't get ripped off if that's the situation you're in. Florida's Elite Restoration will handle all disasters in your home. Wind damage, fire, flood, which is just a killer, mold. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get there, check out all of their services, and keep the website handy so in case something happens, you know who you call, someone that you can really trust.
You know, mold is a four-letter word, and it deserves to be. And it's a curse word in its own right. You don't mess around with it. You do not. Left unattended, a small problem, which is relatively inexpensive to fix, and Florida's Elite Restoration can handle both small and big jobs, but left unattended, it can easily escalate into a major project.
You get mold, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Free assessment at your home so you can really understand what's going on, what you need to do. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Sage, I got to tell you that I've been doing some research this week and going back, even watching some games, and I can't wait for preseason, but that's just me. And the last 5 years, Ira, the first round bye went to a 13-win team. That's 5 years in a row. As Lee would say, it's no coincidence. Before that was the Panthers and their big 15-win miracle season. But the year before that, in 2014, the Seahawks got the number one seed with 12 wins. So I ask you, Sage, for your wisdom, is 13 plus one, is 14 enough to do it, you think, this year in the NFC with this landscape, with a 17-game season?
I would say absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. Teams are in disarray, and I'm looking at you, the Saints. You know, you go from Brees... You go from Brees to Winston, with all due respect, Lee, you're going from a first ballot Hall of Famer to we're not quite sure what you got.
And yeah, that's fair.
And not to mention Taysom Hill is still lurking around. You never know.
I don't understand that.
You know, San Francisco is not the same team that reached the Super Bowl a few years ago. Seattle has some problems along with a disgruntled quarterback. And who knows what's going on in Green Bay. And Lee, the NFC East is a joke, at least as presently constituted. Maybe the Washington football team, you know, might go 10-7. All right, fine. Win the division. 10 wins. Fine. I think absolutely 14-3 will get you a first-round bye in the NFC.
Yeah. I tell you what, Rivera... Maybe not this year, but next year, he's going to have a hellacious defense. That's going to be 2002 Bucks-esque. That's going to be a dynamite defense. You know, he's got Jamin Davis and all those guys up front.
Ooh. And he knows how to teach it.
Yeah. Ira, what do you make John Lynch? He's starting to get called out by people that he claims Michael Lombardi, Adam Schefter, and Chris Sims were all lying about his interest in Mac Jones.
Well, there's a little bit of credibility problem with Lynch, at least with some of these national observers. They never believe him when he said that Jimmy G was going to be the starting quarterback for the 2021 Niners. They never believed him when he said we still have faith in Garoppolo. And, you know, look, John Lynch isn't any different than most NFL GMs in terms of putting out some disinformation, running right when you really want to go left. And I don't blame him. Why should he spoon feed these people? But the luster's off John Lynch a little bit, Lee, even though he's going into Canton this summer. He's coming off a bad year. They had a ton of injuries, you know, but they've had one season in the sun, so to speak. Only one under John Lynch's tutelage. We'll see what happens this year. But they've lost a lot of people off that Super Bowl team. And, you know, that's a tough little division. The Rams look strong. Seattle is not going to go 6-11 with Russell Wilson. And Arizona's not bad. That ain't the NFC East. That's the NFC West. whole different ball game. So I think John Lynch has a lot to prove this year in the front office.
Well, I didn't mean to sidetrack everybody on a San Francisco question. But here is the Bucks question. A guy wrote this for CBS Sports. I highlighted it on JoeBucksFan.com. I think this was just evidence of a guy that doesn't follow the Bucks. And there's a lot of guys out there that don't follow the Bucks. You can tell by the way they write. National guys, that is. This guy he came up with a column of veterans across the NFL who could be on the chopping block because of their salaries as right. All these rookie classes are you know, brought into the fold, so to speak. This guy suspected that once Joe Tryon is signed, Will Golston might want to look behind his back. I thought that was crazy. Your thoughts? I think Golston's pretty safe.
I think he's safe too, Lee. He's much more effective in the Buck-based defense with the three-man front. He's built for that. Classic left end in a three-man front. He's darn good at stopping the run. I don't think it's a stretch to say he just had his best season as a Buccaneer. I think he did.
It was a goofy take by the CBS guy. They don't play the same position. Golston's 290 pounds. He's a classic 3-4 defensive end. If Tryon played Golston's position, he'd get mauled, absolutely mauled. It's just two different positions. You know, I don't think Golston's in any worry. He's a 16-game starter, led in QB hits.
He's not always on the field in third down situations. It's kind of remarkable.
It was a career year for him by far. Imagine if he can duplicate that, Ira. Imagine that with a healthy Vea. You know, we could be talking a glory days type of defense here, top three.
And by the way, I want to mention this before I forget about it. And Lee, this is for you, Lee. This is for you.
I'm sitting down, so
one of your arguments is, you know, you're a big Vita Vea guy. And, you know, and I didn't realize this till I did this column the other day about the rush defense. And I believe the numbers were in the 13 games Vea didn't play, they gave up an average of 91 yards rushing. Still outstanding. Mm-hmm. In the 7 games that he played, including the last 2 postseason games and the first 5 regular season games, the number was 64. Lee, 64.
Wow.
That's a big difference, Steve. That's a big number.
That's 30%.
I mean, it's 27 less yards. It's probably about 30%. Now you'd say, well, great rushing defense with them, great rushing defense without them. Well, you know what? It's markedly better when he's in there. And having Vita Vea, and we don't know that he's going to stay healthy because it's been a problem. It's been a problem. But if he does, boy, does this defense look scary, Mr. Isbitt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you said it was great without him, but markedly different with him. So, if he can be healthy a full 16-game season, you know, with experience now and all that, it is scary for sure. If you're pulling up numbers, Ira, this got lost in the shuffle a little bit because everybody was so fired up and crazy about the Bucks going to the playoffs. But you know, Ronald Jones, Ira, did the little bit of math and looked it all up. He had the best rushing season, yards per carry, in the history of the Buccaneers for a full-time running back. You know, he was there, obviously, their top starter. He carried the load for them. He was 13th in the league in carries, just 190-something carries. But 5.1 yards per carry, Ira, that was the best rushing season by a Buccaneers starter in history. You know, I don't think that gets lost at one buck. It's going to be, I'm really interested to see how that competition breaks out.
Great point, Steve. Now, Lee, of course, a 98-yard run helps. It helps.
Oh, yeah.
But, but it's not like you would average 4.1 instead of 5.1, but it helps, no question. And you give him credit for making the 98-yard run. I mean, you do, you know, and he wasn't caught from behind. And he broke into the clear and nobody caught him. Lee, I've said it before, I'll say it again. My money is on Jones as the primary back. Now, that's not going to make Fournette very happy. It's not, because he's probably coming to camp saying, hey, I had a hell of a January and played well in the Super Bowl, and I showed what I can do when they give me a chance. And I don't know. You can't get past 5 yards a carry. I mean, you can't get around that. That's a Barry Sanders number. Now, I'm not comparing, you know, putting them in the same sense, but Sanders averaged 5 yards a carry for his career. Tremendous number. Jim Brown's number one all time, 5.2, but a lot of carries. That's why Jim Brown might be the greatest player of any position in NFL history. Again, doesn't belong in the same sentence as Jim Brown. But Lee, Ronald Jones was going to shatter the 1,000-yard mark until he got hurt. He was. We all know that. And can he catch the ball, Lee? Not very well. And he has not made significant strides since his rookie year in that regard. But he sure looks like a different running back, Lee, with the ball in his hands. I think he gets the bulk of the carries. We'll see what happens in training camp.
I'm open-minded, and this is why. And this is why I think Aaron should be as well. He have two very talented running backs. One guy had a great regular season. Then he got hurt, and he was almost a non-factor in the postseason. Then you have a guy who, depending who you talk to, moped around in the regular season, then had a come-to-Jesus moment late in the season, and he had a dynamite postseason. So you know what? I just tell those guys, you tell me who starts. You guys tell me who starts. No one's going to be given a position. You got to win it. So you guys tell me who I should start. You guys tell me whose number I should be calling on Thursday night against the Cowboys.
And, Steve, you know, you got to say, looking around the league, with rare exception, and I mean the Derrick Henrys of the world, I mean, I look at a guy like Aaron Jones, and the reason I pick him is because I had him on my fantasy team, and he had, you know, he had a good season, but the year before he scored 19 touchdowns. But he had a good season. But, Steve, as the year went on, what I noticed is, as good a runner as he is, and I think he averages close to 5 yards a carry, they don't give him that many carries. He never gets 22, 25 carries. Never. They got some depth behind him, Green Bay, and that's the way of the world now in the NFL.
Yeah, Ira, there's only two workhorse 1980s and 90s running backs in the league, and that's Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook. And that's it. Everybody else is in that Aaron Jones, Ronald Jones kind of mode where you get your 12, 14 carries, and that's it.
It used to be Ezekiel Elliott also, Steve, used to be, but I'm not sure he's there now.
Well, we'll find out this year, we'll certainly find out on opening night. They're going to go to him and see if the Bucs' run defense is what it was in the past 2 years. I have a feeling that they'll be throwing, and Prescott will be running for his life, but... they'll be pounding the rock. I can't wait for that game, Ira. But, yeah, you were right. Aaron Jones did lead the NFL in yards per carry last year. I remember from when I looked this up. I think he was about 5.5, and the only other guy better than Rojo in the NFC among running backs was Miles Sanders. You know, it was just a little bit better. So I agree with Lee, though. You know, let them fight it out. Anything in the past is just in the past. There's only one goal this year, win a Super Bowl. And whoever gets the ball, I don't really care. As long as they're successful, the egos have to be put aside big time. Sage, Bill Curry Ford, we talk about them, but we mean it. We love Sean Sullivan, the GM. He's our friend, but he literally is a friend to anybody in the Tampa Bay area who wants to go shopping at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. He'll take your call. He will take your email. He will talk to you when you come in. Deal with him directly. You want to reach out through their online sales folks that way and get in touch with him. BillCurryFord.com. He's going to give you a discount. He's going to give you honest talk. He's going to guide you if you need guidance. He's just the best in the business. And Bill Curry Ford, that's where it's at, Sage.
You know, speaking of Bill Curry Ford, Lee, I saw something on a news channel, and they devoted like 20 minutes to this story. It was a big, big story. And I thought of you because it was all about the F-150 and the new technology focused on the electric model. But the start of the story was that the F-150 is by far, nobody's even close, by far the biggest selling vehicle in the United States, by far. As far as new technology and the latest models, you go talk to Sean Sullivan. You can be as specific as you want. Model, color, what kind of additions you want, options. He'll find it for you. He might have to go to Texas. He might have to have something shipped from California. But he will take care of his customers. And he's proven it time and again, Lee. So if you want a certain F-150, you talk to Sean Sullivan. satisfy all your needs when it comes to a Ford vehicle.
All right, now we've got an eye-opener to talk about here on the podcast. I'm fired up to get your take on this. Really, nobody better to talk to about it. And it's something we've talked about before, but now there's new information. But I do also want to remind everybody, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Summer weather is here. It's hot. There are so many great Big Storm beers. I can't even speak them all. They're so fantastic. I've always got Bromosa and Wavemaker Amber Ale handy. I know you love the Tropic Pressure Golden Ale, Ira. I mentioned that because it's in cans. But I know you like Kolsch at their tap rooms. And there's so many other beers. The Bay Beer is also in cans. You and Lee are fans of Bay Beer. Everybody needs to get to BigStormBrewery.com to find the location nearest them or to find out where the beer is for sale. You can just punch in your zip code. Tap rooms, great food in Odessa, Clearwater, where there's live music every weekend, Friday and Saturday. And, of course, Orlando at the Amway Center, which is accessible every single day, even if there's no event going on. And Cape Coral, Tampa's coming in Ybor City. We love Big Storm Beer. Check it out, Big Storm Beer, and they got great takeout. You can follow them on Facebook, too, if you want to really learn more about the beers. They do some great stuff there. Each location, you can find their own page right there. Ira, Mark Dominic, the former general manager, before he was GM, he was director of pro personnel for the Bucks in the Bruce Allen administration. And on Sirius XM NFL Radio, where Dominic is a frequent co-host, and he's very good, they were doing a segment, and they've been doing it on and off in the offseason, called GM Stories. And basically, Dominic tells a story about his time as a GM. And sometimes it's not about the Bucks. It may be about other things that were happening, other places and scouting guys. And, I remember when I scouted this guy 10 years ago and, blah, blah, blah. But this one was Dominic even made in the buildup. He agreed it's time to pull back the curtain on the Brett Favre to Tampa trade. And it's time to tell the truth. And he even said, after 12, 13 years, I think it's okay. So I was like, whoa, okay. And bottom line is Dominic explained two things that were key. First was that the way the sleaze goes in the NFL, and he, sort of phrased it that way, the misdirection plays, and so GMs can get away with not lying, was Bruce Allen told Dominic, said to Dominic, who do you know at the Packers? And he said, well, I'm really good friends with John Schneider. We're good buddies. We've been scouting for years. And he's like, good. Call Schneider, who was then the number two or three guy with the Packers, and ask him about Brett Favre. You start negotiating a Brett Favre trade. And meanwhile, simultaneously, Ted Thompson was doing the same thing. The former Packers GM was telling Schneider, Dominic called Dominic, see if they're interested in Favre. Because both GMs wanted to be able to look the media in the face and say, we never talked to the Pack. I never talked to the Packers at all. This is ridiculous. Somebody else did, not me, Bruce Allen could say. And Ted Thompson was playing the same game. So they get the trade going. And the Bucks, when they realized that nobody else was bidding on Favre, they didn't sweeten the offer just a little tiny bit to get the deal done. They were sort of stuck on offering a fourth round pick. And they just thought they had it in the bag because they didn't sweeten the pot. And meanwhile, they could have offered a conditional pick later, and the eventual deal went to the Jets, who swooped in and started negotiating and offered all these conditions to the deal, like, if Favre plays a little more, we'll, if he plays 70% of the snaps, we'll go up to a third round pick. If you win the Super Bowl, we'll go up to this. And the Bucs basically got caught with their pants down, and they really wanted Favre, as you know very well. And it wasn't about, Dominic said it really wasn't about, they didn't want to trade him in the conference. He said it was just really about, we didn't offer enough, and we should have, and we blew it. And he said that he's nauseated, almost nauseating, he said, to this day. And he also admitted in there that he probably would have been very happy just not being general manager in 2009, and he said he shouldn't have been GM in 2009, which was just a real, I think, jaws dropped across the Bay Area when Dominic said, I shouldn't have been the GM. It was just an insane little piece of history, Ira. And I'll leave you with this following quote before I get your take and Lee's take. Dominic said, I look back on that and say, if we had just upped our ante a little bit more, I wonder how many lives would be different than they are today versus Brett going to the Jets and then Minnesota. Because we went 9-7 in 2008 without Brett Favre, and I got to think we would have been 11-5 easily with Brett Favre, if not better, and that would have been awesome to see. Your take, Ira.
That's one of those great what-if moments over there, Lee. You know, if Dominic is nauseated, how does he think I feel, Mr. DeKemper, about not completing the Brett Favre deal? Because almost 13 years have passed. 13 years. And I still think about those few days in August of 2008 when Jeff Garcia looked at Roy Cummings and I at training camp at Disney and said, I'm a dead man walking, gentlemen. I'm a dead man walking. He knew he was out of there. He knew Chucky wanted Favre. He knew Chucky was putting the full pressure on Favre. And who of all people, DeKemper, is reporting that Brett Favre's going to be a buck and the chances of the deal unraveling are remote. Remote. That's the word I used. Remote. And who was being quoted by ESPN? They had seven people on the freaking story. And they were quoting the Tampa Tribune saying Favre was going to be a buck. And this deal was done. Everybody talked to Favre. Gruden talked to Favre. The Glazers talked to Favre. Everything was done. They talked to his wife. And the Bucks, in the words of Mark Dominic, we blew it. You know who said we blew it? Peter Fonda at the end of Easy Rider. He said we blew it. I still can't believe that that deal unraveled. And I looked like a clown. I aimed for the king. And you know the line, Lee. You aim for the king, you better not miss. I aimed high, and it didn't happen, and I took a beating about it. My ears are still ringing from the Chris Harries of the world, making fun of me for getting the story wrong. DeKemper, based on what Mark Dominic just said, I don't think I was wrong. How do you like that?
Well, as Ben Bradley once said, big shot of the Washington Post, who was a giant in the industry in his days, a high-level official in the LBJ administration told him that LBJ was going to fire J. Edgar Hoover, and Bradley ordered one of his reporters to put that together and run with it. And the next morning, or 5 or 6 hours later, maybe 12 hours later, the FBI has a press conference with LBJ. Oh, by the way, we're going to welcome J. Edgar Hoover back as the FBI director. And so Bradley caught hell for that. And someone mocked Bradley about it at a cocktail party in Washington. And Bradley said, I wasn't wrong. The story changed. And that's what happened with you, Ira. You weren't wrong. The story changed. Here's what I think about Dominic. Dominic comes across, and I like Mark. Mark's a great guy. Always been good to me. I'm not trying to kill him when I say this. Dominic is a typical personnel guy. They consider draft picks to be freaking gold nuggets. You know, a third round pick, oh my God, no, I can't give that up. A third round pick. Now remember, the Bucks were coming off a playoff team. The Bucks were in the playoffs the year before. And I'm not saying Garcia was a bad quarterback. He wasn't. But you put Favre on that team, who knows what happens. So because of potentially a lousy third round pick, and Bucks fans, you go to profootballreference.com and you look at the history of Bucks third round picks. You pick any one of those stiffs that were drafted by the Bucks in the third round and think to yourself, you could have had a Hall of Fame quarterback for one of these mailmen that the Bucks drafted. You just want to punch a wall. What the hell are you thinking? But that's a typical personnel guy. They think these draft picks are so bloody valuable. First off, how many careers would that have changed? Chucky probably would have been around for a couple more years. Favre would have been around for a couple more years. Dominic probably would. Well, but Dominic did stay. Look at Derek Brooks. You know, they probably don't go into a youth mode. Derek Brooks sticks around. Warwick Dunn probably sticks around. How many millions of dollars did Dominic cost people? because he didn't want to let go of one of these priceless draft picks, sweeten the pot a little bit, even a second round pick, but just, and just, I mean, just, we just want to strangle someone. You just want to strangle someone.
And, you know, here's another interesting part. What happens? The Glazers, they elevate Dominic after the season, and they fire Bruce Allen. Now, look, there were a lot of reasons to get rid of Gruden and Allen. Obviously, the collapse of December was the key factor. There's no doubt about that. But Allen was the GM, not Dominic. And the Glazers, I can tell you, were very excited about the possibility and probability of Favre coming in August of 2008. And when it didn't happen, they don't forget about something like that. And the GM's got to take his hit. He's probably going to get fired anyway, based on losing those last four games. But it didn't help Allen's cause when failed to produce Brett Favre, and he was the general manager.
How many millions did that cost the Glazers, not having Favre?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially after you hear this story, it's really unthinkable, and the Glazers must have been absolutely stunned. And when you think about their reputation at the time, the Bucks were spending at the salary floor, and they were getting clobbered, the Glazers were, for not spending money, Manchester United's influencing all that stuff. They were prepared, and people forget this, they were prepared to pay Brett Favre $13 million, which would have jumped their salary structure in a significant way. You know, the teams didn't spend as much money overall that time. That was a lot of money. It would have knocked out the cheap label from the Glazers that they took a long time to dig out from under. And so there was a lot at stake. And the irony is, for me, Ira, is the second round pick in 2009, Dominic traded that for a serial rapist and a guy who likes Vaseline and pouting. So, you know, it was a total freak show. And that's, you know, that's the icing on the cake.
Lee, you made a great point in terms of if the Bucks would have made the playoffs, which I think they would have in 08 under Favre, you would think.
Yeah.
And, Steve, then it does not probably does not trigger the veteran purge. So much happened after that 08 season, Steve, that didn't necessarily have to happen.
The fact that Dominic comes out with this May 2021, look what's happened in recent weeks. Bruce Allen gets fired. Bruce Allen gets sued by Danny Snyder. It's pretty clear Bruce Allen's career is over with as a GM. He's done.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
Very, very interestingly. Very interesting. He's held this story for 13 years, Steve. 13 years he's held this story.
I don't think it's a coincidence, Lee. Maybe he felt comfortable knowing that Allen was out of the league, although he did speak on that broadcast how much he loves Allen and just thought he was the greatest to work for along with Chucky, and he explained some of why. I don't have it in front of me, Ira, but Allen's got to be your age. I mean, he's no spring chicken.
Steve, couldn't you use somebody else as an example? You got to pick me.
All right. Well, he looks good, but I know that I wouldn't be shocked if he retired, is what I'm saying. Nobody would be surprised. He's been around a while. All right, Sage, look, we've got plenty more coming next week on the podcast. We do not rest. We've got plenty to do, and we're excited for it. Our thanks to Big Storm Beer, to Florida's Elite Restoration, as we heard before, floridaselite restoration.com. That's the website you go to learn about who you need to call immediately when you have any sort of a disaster in your home, water, fire, mold, whatever it is. And Sage, anything you're looking for from OTAs next week, or anything you want to let everybody know as we walk out of here into the sunset, into the weekend, before another couple of podcasts next week?
Well, I'm very much looking forward to the three of us perhaps reuniting at One Buck Place to watch a little practice that may or may not happen. And, Steve, I think it's worth mentioning that we have held over stuff from Coach Rapone, Steve, that you will sprinkle in your inimitable style over the rest of the off season. You know, like you're dropping breadcrumbs, Steve, and Buck fans already know. Coach Rapone tells it like it is. So there's a lot more good stuff coming up at Izbitz's disposal.
There's always good stuff coming up, Ira, when you're on your podcast.
And Ira, you know what? Man. This is an emergency ending right here. Emergency ending, and we're going out on this, Ira. And we thank everybody for subscribing at Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you are. I put out just at the very end here on Twitter while we were recording, I said, who's got one quick question right now for the Sage? And go figure, it's some guy probably throwing a few back. He's in jolly old England, and he says, Sage, give us a way too early season prediction for the Bucks in 2021, Ira. So we started early here on the win total. Give us a win total, and we're out, Ira.
15, gentlemen. 15.